I'm Chris Long. I'm president of the Philadelphia Society this year. On behalf of all of my fellow board members of the Society, I want to thank each of you for being here. Those of you from Texas, we're honored to be in your state. Those of you who are not from Texas, I appreciate the fact that you came all the way here to Fort Worth to join us, to talk about some serious ideas, to talk about first principles. I think we've got a great program. We have a terrific set of speakers, importantly, but even more importantly, we have a terrific set of speakers that are here to talk about a serious and interesting set of ideas. But most importantly of all is the fact that we've got a great group of members and guests and fellows who, as I mentioned, have come from all around the country for fellowship here to spend the weekend together. The last meeting we had in Philadelphia, we had a retreat with some of the board members and former trustees of the society, and one thing that came out of that was just how important the reception time and other time is together around the table. And even though Joe Morris does such an amazing job as our lunch MC, some of the feedback we got from you, which we listened to, is that we need more free time. So we're going to experiment this meeting and the next with some different formats that will allow us to have more time for all of you to interact together, including lunch tomorrow, which will have no program. So you can actually have more time to speak and converse and share ideas and talk about how we can together change the world. You know, when we think about, you know, what we want to accomplish, we just had our board meeting this morning at the Society, and looking at the new members that are coming in, your ability to bring us new members, to bring in guests. I talked to a number of people at the reception who have said they already have guests that want to join and become members. Young graduate students, we have a great fellowship program. We have 13 fellows here this meeting, which we're excited about. We want to be able to continue to grow the number of undergraduate and graduate students, as well as young professors and academics that come to these meetings, which has always been an important role that the Philadelphia Society has played. I'm president for one term, and so, you know, each year, thank you. No. Hopefully I'll make it to the end. This is my first official job right here, as being at this podium right now. So every year we rotate through a different president, and so each of you has an ability to become president. Each of you has an ability to recommend speakers, to have a big program, to have a big impact on the program. This is your society, and we, as I mentioned, we listen to your ideas, and we want you to become involved. We want you to go back into your communities and bring us names of speakers, of topics, of members, of fellows, of supporters. Unfortunately, Lee Edwards cannot be with us. I put him on a panel tomorrow, but he is at our fellow member Richard Vigory's 85th birthday party. And so Lee could not be with us, but he talks about the four Ps, the philosophers like Frank Meyer and the popularizers like Bill Buckley, the politicians, of course, like Goldwater and Reagan, but then the philanthropists. And the society, you know, can't go forward with its efforts without the support of all of you and of donors. And so now I'd like to thank some of the donors who have made this evening and this weekend possible. I want to first of all thank John Goodman and the Goodman Institute for sponsoring our bars this evening, our open bars. Thank you, John. I want to thank all of the members of the President's Club and the Commodore's Circle and myself, Julie, Lenore would all be happy to talk to you more about what you could do to get involved with being helpful in that regard. I also want to thank the Intercollegiate Studies Institute, the Heritage Foundation, and Morton Blackwell for funding the current crop of fellows. And I mentioned we've got 13 fellows who have been sponsored to attend this meeting. So let's please thank those organizations and Morton. We also have three student fellows sponsored by Hillsdale College. So also we should thank Hillsdale, who has a very large contingent here. I'd like to ask all the fellows that have just been mentioned to please stand up so we can recognize you individually. Great. Thanks for being here, and we hope you will continue to stay involved with the society in the years ahead. And the very last thing before we begin to eat is we just want to say that we have an exciting program. I hope you'll like this program, but we have a very exciting program planned for March in Chicago. It's going to be the 55th anniversary of the society, so it'll be a little bit of a special event, and it should be a great lineup. We have also gone out of our way to try to bring in some interesting cutting-edge speakers and topics, and so we've just been able to confirm the billionaire venture capitalist inventor in cryptocurrency and blockchain and things, and he'll be Tim Draper, who I think will be an interesting speaker on how some of these technologies that he's successfully invested in can have an impact on our culture going forward. So that should be an interesting back and forth and give and take, as we'll have throughout this weekend. How many of you have ever heard of the term holy huddle? Holy huddle. You know, Foster Freeze, I worked with for about 12 years, and Foster always used to talk about a holy huddle, kind of a group of Christians who wanted to kind of insulate themselves from others and, you know, might partake in this kind of groupthink. Which reminds me of another Foster Freeze story. He became a born-again Christian in the 1970s, and the person that brought him over, if you will, used to have to chastise him. Like many converts, they become overly jealous. They said, "Foster, you're supposed to be a witness, not a prosecuting attorney." But some of you know Foster just unfortunately lost his race for governor of Wyoming. And I think he would have been miserable as governor. Not miserable in governing, but I think he would have been unhappy as governor. But when we think of this concept of a holy huddle, we have the same thing sometimes here on the right. We try to, you know, surround ourselves in little cliques and safe spaces and maybe congregate into tribes. And in fact, we had some members, I think, are annoyed that we invited the speaker that we invited tonight. Over the years, we've had different members have left. We don't excommunicate folks. We'd always welcome these members who have left back into the fold. But the society has always been about having interesting discussions and debates. And if you go back, which you now can on the website, and we want to do a better job of even making these former debates public and open to larger audiences, and that's why we're actually videotaping some of the programming at this conference, so that other students and students of these ideas can be exposed to some of the debates and discussions that we have here at the Society. But if you think back to some of the very early meetings with Hayek and Russell Kirk and Frank Meyer and Annette's here, but Russell, referring to the libertarians as chirping sectaries, and of course the one of the lectures that Hayek gave on why he's not a conservative. So we've always been, as a society, very serious about trying to figure out and trying to cope with and examine the tensions that exist within conservatism. And that was captured in the book, What is Conservatism? And I was happy as the president of the Intercollegiate Studies Institute to republish that book, which was a compilation of essays by Bill Buckley and Russell Kirk and Hayek and James Burnham and some of these early members of the Philadelphia Society. And so when we came up with the topic of this weekend's discussion, what is conservatism, it was clear who should be one of our speakers. And it was the person who wrote the intro to the new edition of What is Conservatism? And also, as it happened, he had just released a book, which is his third best-selling book, Suicide of the West, which is really on this topic, re-examining our conservative first principles. And so I'm very grateful to him making the trip all the way here to Fort Worth to be with us, and the Society is very grateful to the National Review Institute for allowing Jonah to be here. Jonah writes a lot. I haven't written everything that he's written or posted. I'm not sure that he has. But, and you don't have to agree with 100% of everything that he says or everything that anyone says this weekend. You're here to think, and we expect you to be free to think for yourselves. But I don't really know anyone of Jonah's age who is as intimately familiar with Frank Meyer, with Bill Buckley, with Russell Kirk, with Stan Evans, James Burnham, you know, Friedrich Hayek, lots of the early and important members and influencers of all of us here, but also with Locke and Rousseau and Montesquieu and the founders of the Jefferson, Madison, Hamilton. You can say a lot of things about Jonah, but he knows his stuff. He does his homework. He does the hard work of thinking seriously about these ideas. He's very well read. He writes very well. He's the Cliff Asness Chair in Applied Liberty at the American Enterprise Institute. I don't know if he had to play poker with Cliff Asness to win that award or not. He's senior editor of National Review, a fellow at the National Review Institute, syndicated columnist appearing in hundreds of newspapers, LA Times, USA Today. You've seen him all. You've all seen him on Fox News. He was the 2011 CPAC Robert Novak Journalist of the Year, and I thought I'd share what the American Conservative said about Suicide of the West. Any assessment of Suicide of the West must begin by acknowledging that whatever Conservatism, Inc. is, it isn't this. Goldberg has crafted a serious and informed argument that the increasingly troll overpopulated modern right would do well to read. Suicide of the West belongs alongside Steven Pinker's Enlightenment Now, Patrick Deneen's Why Liberalism Failed, Yuval Levin's The Fractured Republic, and other challenging treatises that have taken Trump's ascendance as an opportunity to re-examine first principles. So here to re-examine first principles this evening and to kick off our meeting, I give you Jonah Goldberg.